Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily, worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Ada County jail suit story right after this. Entrapment is sometimes carried out for other motives. Sometimes it's just revenge or spite. One time, many years ago, there was an issue came up over the jail suit. I'll cite it for you right out of the scripture here. In Leviticus 19, verse 19, it tells us that we're not to wear clothes that have mixed fabrics. It says, "You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind, and you shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you." So it's this garment that is made with mingled fabric. Now in Ada County, Idaho, nearly all of the police there are Mormons. They're religious people. And they're pretty good guys. I mean, you know, you'd rather have a Mormon living next to you than you would a drug dealer. So they're not all bad people, and I'm not here railing against Mormons, but I'd wanted to bring out the fact that they're religious, and religious people don't believe that scripture there. Well, I'll just ask you, you know, I mean, you're probably pretty religious. Do you believe that you ought not to wear a shirt or a pair of socks that have mingled linen and woolen, or cotton, and say nylon in it? Because most people don't. And in fact, when you go into the store and you buy clothes, almost all the clothes are made up of mingled fabrics. They're not all silk or all wool or all cotton. They have some kind of a portion. Sometimes it's as little as 1%. Just 1%. I was in a store one day, and they had 1%, they had Levi's. They weren't Levi's, they were some other brand, but denim pants. And then I looked at the label, and I'd never seen a denim before that had mingled fabric, but this one did, at 1%. And I pointed this out to the sales clerk. I said, "Hey, this has got mingled fabric in it. What do you have that's 100% cotton?" He looked at it, and he said, "Well, I never noticed that before." And he said, "I don't know." And so we looked around, and they had some other brands in the store. And he said, "Well, here's one over here." And so I went over to the other brand over there. I don't know if it was Levi's or something else. And, of course, it was 100% cotton. And he said, "I've never heard of that before." And I said, "Yeah, Leviticus 19:19 prohibits us from wearing mingled fabric. Have you ever heard that before?" And he looked at me like I was stupid. So I just wanted to point that out. Now that I've pointed it out, now you can see how stupid I am. I was in the Ada County Jail, and they handed me this orange jail suit. So I looked at the label, and it said in there that it had 65% cotton and 35% nylon. And so I said, "Have you got a jail suit here that is 100% cotton?" And so the jailer looked around there, and we looked at the labels, and they all said the same, 65, 35. And then pretty soon, he said, "Well, we've got some old ones back over here." And so he looked back in there, and he said, "Look at this. Here's one here, 100% cotton." And I wore that 100% cotton jail suit. So I knew that they had these 100% cotton jail suits, and from time to time when I got arrested and jailed, then I would tell them, "Give me the 100% cotton," and I'd tell them, "It's in the storeroom back there." And they'd go back, and they'd get that 100% cotton, and they would bring it out, and and I'd wear the 100% cotton jail suit, and no problem. And some time went by. Well, one day I got arrested, and here I am in jail, and I said to Bruce Honey, God love him, Bruce Honey, one of the jailers, and I said, Bruce, back there in the storeroom, there's 100% cotton. And Honey was really rude. I don't think he liked me. And he was really rude. And he threw that jail suit at me, and he said, that's what you're going to wear right there. Put it on. So I looked at it, and it said 6535. And so I said, well, now this is against the law, Mr. Honey. This is it violates Leviticus 19:19. Now, I don't know if Bruce Honey went to church. I don't even know if he was a Mormon. I didn't ask him. I just wanted to tell you that in Idaho, nearly everybody is a Mormon. That's to start with. And then and it's not everybody, but I'm just telling you that most of the people up there are Mormon. And you can rest assured that the governor, when he's elected, is going to be a Mormon, because the majority of the people up there vote for Mormon candidates. And then you can rest assured that when Mayor Eardley is elected mayor, and when he appoints the chief of police, Mayor Eardley is going to be a Mormon, and he's going to appoint a Mormon to be the chief of police. And you can rest assured that when the chief of police is hiring policemen, they're going to be Mormons. It's what we call the spoils system here in America. But anyway, that's the way the game is played. Now, that's true. There's probably a few policemen. They probably have some token Catholics. They might even have two or three other token Protestants, on the police department. But I'm telling you that you could just about bet that those guys are Mormons. Now, what difference would it make to him whether I'm wearing a jail suit that's cotton or one that's mixed fabric? We call it spite. I'm in authority here. I'm the policeman, and I'm going to tell you, here's what you're going to do. I don't practice that. I don't believe that. I'm not of that religious persuasion, and by God, you're going to do what I tell you. See? Now, this is the problem that we have. It's intolerance. The rest of the people of America were intolerant toward the Mormons practicing polygamy. And I've asked the question more than once. What in the hell difference does it make to us sitting here in Missouri whether those people out there practice polygamy or not? We don't care about Paris Hilton having sexual relations with some new dude or some different dude five times a week, do we? So why would we care about some guy that's having sexual relations with two different women when we don't care about people having sexual relations with different people that they're not married to? See, it just didn't make any sense to me, but, religious people don't make a lot of sense a lot of the time, do they? And so we get it in our heads that, by God, this guy is gonna do this because I'm going to make him do it. So, in most cases, the average Joe Sixpack, in order to get along, would go ahead and wear those clothes. And I pointed out, I said, I ain't wearing it. And so he and another guy put me into the jail suit. I mean, physically, they just picked me up and dressed me. So if you want to know how many Ada County deputies does it take to put little Georgie into one of those orange jumpsuits, the answer is two. Two is all it takes. And they did it. And then they marched me down to cell block something, G or D or whatever, and put me in there. Now, once they put me in there, I took the jail suit off. And then I folded it up neatly, and I put it on my bunk, and then I sat there. Now, I'm sitting here in my underwear. And so some time went by, and then, the police, they come by, the jailers, they come by about every hour, and they look through the window, and so they see all the guys in there. And here's little Georgie sitting on the bunk or sitting over here at the table in his BVDs. And pretty soon, Honey came down with another guy. And they told me, "You put that jail suit on." And I told them, "No, I'm not going to put it on." And so, again, I refer you to Block 15. How many Ada County deputies does it take to put little Georgie into the jail suit? And again, the answer is two. Two. That's all it takes. And they put me into the jail suit. And when they left, I took it off. And some time went by. And so they came back again. And then they saw that I was sitting there in my BVDs. Now, Mr. Honey was really upset. Really upset. I mean, he was shaking all over. He was so mad. He was just beside himself. He could have had a heart attack. I mean, that guy could have just died deader than a popcorn fart right there on the floor with a coronary. He was that angry. And so, again, I refer you to Block 15. How many Ada County deputies does it take to put little Georgie in his jail suit? And, you know the answer. It's two, and they put me in. Only this time, Deputy Honey, he took his handcuffs out, and he handcuffed my hands behind my back. Now, that doesn't feel real good, and so he left, and I'm sure he was very happy. Now, in those days, I was a little more agile than I am today. And so I sat there, and I got to thinking, what am I going to do here? I'm sure that God wasn't going to throw me into the lake of fire because I had these mixed fabric jail suit on. But I sat down, and I worked my hands down under my bottom and down my legs, and brought my legs up between my arms, and I had the handcuffs out in front of me. Then I took the jail suit, and I unzipped it, and then I worked it off of my shoulders, and then I worked my legs out from the legs, and there I was outside of it, and I flipped it over my back, and I had it out there. Now, I couldn't get it off of my hands. I mean, the handcuffs barred it from getting beyond the handcuffs over my wrists. But I had it off of my body. And I was amazed myself. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I was that agile. And so there I am. I'm sitting there on my bunk, and I've got this jail suit out in front of me. And God love him, Bruce Henney came by, and he saw that. I thought he was going to die. And so he was just visibly upset. He took the handcuffs off, and he left. And I thought, well, I just won this game. Well, that's what I thought. So that night, I went to bed, And the next morning, I got up. Now, during the night, the jailer comes into the jail cell, and they look around with their flashlights, you know, because the lights are off at night. And so I heard the policeman come in a time or two at night, but I never paid any attention to it. And so the next morning, Bruce Honey came in. Now, it's about 7 o'clock, or maybe it's 6:30 when they come in. And when Honey came in, I was already awake, laying on my bunk. And my eyes were open, and Honey came in, and he walked out into the middle of the room, and he turned, and he looked right directly at me. And then he walked over, and he said, "What's this?" And he reached down under my bunk. I was on the bottom bunk, and he pulled out a little pile. Pulled out a little pile of orange jail suit pieces. It's all taken apart. And he said, "Gordon, you dumb..." And then he used some expletives that we can't use on the air here, you know. And I didn't think that Mormons used bad words like that, but I mean to tell you that Mr. Honey was using some really bad words. Words that you only hear down at the Blue Room, you know, in O'Leary's and places like that, down on the docks. And so he said, "You dumb SOB, you're under arrest. This is a felony. This is destruction of jail property." And he marched me out of the room in my BVDs. And here's what I noticed. My orange jail suit, you know, the one that I had been wearing, it was gone. It was on the foot of my bunk, and it was gone. And under my bunk was this pile of orange pieces of jail suit, but they were just pieces, you know, like the pockets and the arms and the legs, you know, the pieces. And so they took me down, booked me for a felony, charged me with destruction of jail property. Well, we went to trial, and Judge Willis was presiding. Now, here's what we did. During the lead-up to the trial, we came in and looked at the property, and there were 11 pieces of jail suit. 11 pieces. There was supposed to be 15. So there was 4 missing pieces. Secondly, I had a seamstress come in and look at the jail suit. And she could identify the kind of stitch that goes in there. Now, I can't tell you what kind of stitches go on these jail suits, but she understood that. Now, sometimes a jail suit, like a feed sack, you can pull the string and it unravels. But in these jail suits, it doesn't do that. And you have a little special tool, you ladies out there. And it's a little knife, and it's got a point on it, a rounded point, and it's a razor. And you stick it underneath there, and you pop each one of those stitches, and you cut them out. And she said in her testimony that that's the only way that that would come apart. Now, 4 pieces of the jail suit are missing. It won't unravel. This jail suit had to be taken apart between 10 o'clock at night, which was lights out, and the next morning at 6:30, and there were 9 other people in the room. Not a one of them could testify that they saw me taking the jail suit apart. I didn't have a razor. I didn't have a special stitch unstitcher. And I brought in 2 of these young men that were in there with me, and they both testified that they got up in the night and they never saw George Gordon get out of his bunk. Now, when it was all said and done, the judge found me not guilty, dismissed, and I won the case. But I wanted to bring it to your attention because sometimes policemen, for spite, this oftentimes happens at the scene of the crime. And if you don't confess, I'm going to charge you with obstructing and delaying a policeman. Or I'm going to charge you with drunk driving. Or I'm going to charge you with assault or resisting arrest. This is called stacking charges. Goes on quite often. It ought to be resisted. It ought to be defended. And we ought to expose the police for their criminal behavior. It isn't very often that that happens, but it ought to be exposed every single time. You know, the police are there to keep law and order. But the police do not keep law and order amongst themselves. Who is going to police the police? Are they a law to themselves? Only the citizen can police the police. That's where we come in. That's where the tax-paying Joe Sixpack and little Georgie Gordon citizen comes in and calls the policeman to account. And then you take the policeman into the federal court and you say, "Now, you maliciously charged me with this crime, just like they did to O.J. Simpson, remember? With the sock in the bedroom, the blood on the gate, the blood on the door of the Bronco, the glove. Do you remember all of those instances where the police had phonied up the evidence and planted false evidence against him? I mean, the guy may have been guilty as hell, but there was 4 pieces of evidence that were obviously exposed as being false evidence. Just like that jail suit was false evidence planted under my bunk. Isn't that just special?